coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I'm going to use that last verse as my text verse also this morning. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm going to title my message this morning, Misconceptions. Misconceptions, especially about the church. Now, kids, I don't know if you know what that word misconceptions means, but I want to tell you this morning. If somebody has a misconception, it means that they have a view or an opinion that's not right. It's one that's incorrect. It's one that's wrong. And the reason that it is because it's based on false information. It's based on unreliable information or unreliable thinking or understanding. And, you know, I want to give you a couple examples so you'll understand a little bit better. When I was growing up, there were several what I'll call misconceptions that were expressed to me. When my brothers and I wanted to go swimming and we would eat, we were told we couldn't go swimming for 1 hour after we ate because we might cramp up and drown. Well, you can do the research yourself, but that's a misconception. I was also told that if I swallowed my gum, that it would take 7 years for it to digest. That's also a misconception. Gum follows right through, just like any other matter, goes through our digestive system. So those are examples of misconception. We even have misconceptions that we find in the Word of God. You know, when the holidays come around, people often refer to the three wise men that went to the manger where the Christ child was born. Well, that's a misconception. They didn't visit the manger. And it's also a misconception that there were three of them that went, because nowhere in the Scripture does it tell us that there were three wise men that went. In fact, the Scripture just says there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And I suppose, like many things, man probably determined within their own selves that there were three by the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh that was brought. But it is a misconception that there were three of them. And many people in this life still today, they are full of misconceptions. You know, they don't fully understand what something is about. And, you know, they take bits and pieces of what they've heard or what they have read, and to that they put those things together and they form their own opinion, or they form their own belief about something, and they have a little bit of knowledge and they fill in the blanks on the rest of it. And there are people like that when it comes to the church. And they pick a little bit up here and they pick a little bit up there, and when they do this, they develop a view of the church that's not accurate. They develop a view that's not true. And the result of that is that they end up with misconceptions about the church. And brothers and sisters, as I speak today, I'm speaking to everybody. There's something in my message for everybody. But as I speak today, brothers and sisters, we need to clear up the misconceptions about the church that exist in the world today. And we need to make sure that we fully understand what the church is all about. And if the Lord will lead over the next few weeks, that's the intent of my heart, is to address some of the misconceptions that there are about the church and about its functions, and then hopefully be able to clear up those misconceptions with the truth that's contained in God's Word. And I want to begin today by addressing the misconceptions that exist about the church. You know, Jesus, He reveals a wonderful truth in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus had asked His disciples here, He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the reply to Him was that some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, some say Jeremiah or other of the prophets. And just by that response there that was given, we see that there were misconceptions among the people about who Jesus was. But then you'll notice that Jesus then asked, "But whom say ye that I am?" He was looking at His disciples. He was looking and saying, okay, that's what they say, but whom do you say that I am? And brothers and sisters, I don't know if you think about this as this was translating, but this here was a big moment. This was a big moment as Jesus was standing there with His disciples. You see, the disciples, they'd been with Jesus for quite some time now. And as they were with Jesus, they walked with Him. And they watched Him. And they listened to Him as the Lord taught them. But what had they decided about this man, Jesus, that they were following? Well, Peter speaks up. And Peter, I believe, he speaks for them all. And he replies and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And of course, the Lord tells them, He says, you got it right. I'm paraphrasing now, but He says, "You got it right." But He said, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you this." But He says, "God revealed it unto them." And Jesus said, "On this rock." In other words, what He said is, "On this confession that you have just made," He said, "I will build my church." What kind of a church was Jesus going to build? What would the church look like? What would it consist of? What is the church? And I'm talking about the church, the true and living church of the Lord. There are a lot of misconceptions about the church. Since Jesus spoke these words, many opinions have been formed about what the church is. One of the misconceptions is that the church is this building, that the church is this structure that you and I are in today, that the church is this sanctuary right here, the church is the Sunday school classes that we were in downstairs, the church is the fellowship hall that we have downstairs. And we perpetrate this misconception all the time. When you got up this morning, where did you say you were going? To church. And tomorrow when somebody asks you what you did today, you'll say, "I went to church." And when somebody asks you, "Where is the church?" you'll say, "Well, it's at 55 Crossroads Church Road is where the church is." Many refer to the church as just being a building, being a location, being a place that we go to. Some have a misconception that the church is just an organization. And I realized this morning that we do have officers of the church. We do have people that are in elected positions within the church. When you came in this morning, you passed the church covenant that was on my left in the foyer of our church building. That church covenant, in a sense, is a set of rules and regulations that we who are members of the church, that we agree that we're going to abide by when we join the Lord's church. We set times that we are going to meet here at the church. And we have membership requirements in order to be a member of this church. We are an organization. The only difference between, say, the Lions Club or maybe the Kiwanis Club or the Union Trades or any other group, I suppose, is what our focus is. They have their focus and we have our focus. And there are those who would say that the church is no more important than any of these other organizations. But my opinion today, and I'm preaching to you today, is that would be wrong. That the church is so much more important than any other earthly organization that exists. And it's important for us to know the truth about the misconceptions about the church. there's other misconceptions. There are misconceptions that the church is only open on Sundays. It used to be Wednesdays too. Our Wednesdays are coming back the first Wednesday in April. But there are those who think that we only have church 2 days a week, that will take a couple hours on Sunday morning, and a few will take a couple hours on Sunday night, and others will come on a Wednesday night, and then that's all they'll do. The rest of the time is their own time to do whatever they want to do. There are others that have a misconception that the church is here specifically designed to serve them. They have this idea that when something's not going right within their life, that they'll just go to the church. And they have an expectation that the church is obligated, that the church is responsible to take care of whatever that need is that they have, and that they don't have to do anything for the church. They just have to do whatever they need to do for themselves. And they have this misconception that, you know what, if this particular church isn't doing what I think that they ought to do, well, then I'll just find another church that will. They feel that they should be the main focus of the church. Some have a misconception that they become a part of the church just by joining. They go to a church, they find a church that they think, geez, there's some nice people here, and I'm enjoying the singing, and you know, the preacher once in a while is not too bad. And I think, you know, I think this is a church that I'll just join, and I'll join the church. And they do so. And they get their name on the church roll. But I want you to know this morning there's much more to that. And I'll get to it in a few minutes. There are some that have just so many different misconceptions about what the church is. And the thing about misconceptions, and this is what I want you kids and everybody really to understand, is that they usually have some truth in them. You can usually find some truth about what is being said or what it is that you're hearing. But I'll tell you what, misconceptions consist of so many half-truths. And because they're half-truths, they're not truths. They're incorrect. They're wrong. Brothers and sisters, it's so important that you and I, when we have opportunity with those that we come in contact with, to clear up some of these misconceptions that exist about the church, that we tell the biblical truth. The church is the body of Christ. When we look into Ephesians chapter 1, Paul in his writings, he said in verse 22, chapter 1 and verse 22, he said, and hath put all things under his feet, referring to Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Who was Paul writing to? Paul was writing to the church. He wasn't writing to any individual. He was writing to the church. And he was telling them that Jesus Christ is the head. And we, who's the we? We are the ones that have been saved by grace through faith and the ones that have been baptized into the church. We are the ones that the Bible describes as the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 expresses the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It said, and he is the head of the body, the church. It's not the pastor, it's not the deacons. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church, I guess the picture I want you to get of the church is that we are an extension. We're an extension of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and those who make up the church are his body. And what Jesus did when he was physically here on earth, he's not here anymore. He's in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. But the church, his body, now does those things. We are the one to take the gospel message to the world. We are the one that does express compassion and love to the world for their souls and for their well-being. I said some think, have a misconception about the church being an organization. Instead of being an organization, I would rather term that the church is an organism. An organism, friends, is a living thing. And the church today is a living thing. Paul uses in Scripture a metaphor of the body and compares it to the church. You can read Romans chapter 12 and you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you'll find his writings there. And there's other places in the Scripture as well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, it says, Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And as you read that account there, you'll see that the image that he gives of the body, it shows the church. It shows the unity of the church. A church is to be a place of unity. You know, I always say my anthem for the church is love, harmony, and unity. That's the three things that I always have strived for throughout my ministry. Love, harmony, and unity amongst the church. And the church works in unity. And when we look at the metaphor of the physical body that he gives, each member of the church is just as important as each member of our bodies. We know how important the members of our bodies are, right, Brother Allen? If one of those body members isn't working and functioning like it should, we're handicapped. It's a struggle. It's painful. But the Bible says that we are the body of Christ, and each member of the church is involved with all the other members of the church as we go about doing the work of the Lord here on this earth. And I want to be clear this morning. I don't want there to be any misconceptions. Our churches do have organization, and our churches do have structure. The reason for that is it would be total chaos if we didn't. I realize this morning we do have organization and structure. Yes, we have a pastor that tries his best to lead the church, and you got deacons that look after the church and physical welfare of each church member. We've got Sunday school teachers that diligently study to prepare the lessons every Sunday that we can learn and grow and mature in the Lord. And we have sound technicians and song leaders and treasurers and clerks. All of those things are positions within the church that are important and are necessary for us to be able to accomplish the will of the Lord. But what I call those as being is tools. They're tools of the church. It's not the church itself, but the church is the body of Christ, those that make up the body. The church is the body of the living Lord. The church is in the presence of Jesus Christ in the world today. Do you view yourselves, brothers and sisters, as that? We are the representation of Christ to the world. I said earlier that some people have a misconception that we only have church two times a week. Well, we know that's not true. For the child of God, we are in His presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year, 365 days out of the year. We are to act and we are to live it every day before a lost and dying world. That's the mission of the church. We are to be a light to the community or to those around us, that they might not be wrapped up in misconceptions about the church, but they might know exactly what the church is. And brothers and sisters, I guess what I'm trying to say is we are the church building. I'm thankful for the structure that we have, that we come into, but this structure is not the church. You and I are the church. We make up the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That's you. That's me. If you still got your Bible open to Ephesians, go over to chapter 2 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God's church is not a building, but it's a group of people. He lives in us, and He shows Himself to a watching world through us. Every single one of us. And people can see through us that God is love. And they can see through us that Jesus is Lord as we live in harmony and unity, brothers and sisters, with each other and with what God's Word says in His Word. I don't know if you're thinking it or not. That's a heavy responsibility. That is a heavy responsibility. We are the example. We are the vision of the Lord to the world today as we live by and practice what God has set before us in His Word. We are the church. The church exists to serve God and to serve each other. Ephesians 3 and 21 says, Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Brothers and sisters, the church's primary reason for existence is to worship God and to give Him glory. I hope this morning when we got up and said we were going to church and that we got here, that we came here with that purpose of heart. Maybe even you found your secret place before you came to church and prayed today and said, Lord, give us the ability to shut out the things of the world for just a few moments that we might be able to come into this house of worship where we gather. This is what it is. It's our house of worship that we gather. And let us come in here, Father, with forgiven hearts of sin, that we might be able to give You our heart in worship today and be able to uplift Your name and to honor and glorify You through our Sunday school lesson and through the singing of the songs and through the sharing of the Word, that we might give You the honor and glory and praise that You were due. Did You pray today that You might receive a blessing, that You could come here and say, Lord, you know, my brother used to sing a song, I need a blessing. I've been in the valley all day. Sometimes we get that way in life, and we should come to the house of the Lord saying, Lord, I need a blessing, expecting a blessing, and trusting God to give that blessing. I pray every Sunday. I say, Lord, when we gather in the house to worship You, if there's a lost soul in the building, Lord, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit come upon them that they might know that they're lost and that they need to be saved. And I pray, God, through the service, every part of it, if they came to Sunday school, a word was spoken there, or a line, or a chorus in a song, or a piece of scripture, or a word shared from the pulpit, that it might prick their heart and cause them to come to the realization that they need Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, when an altar call is given, if they need You, will they come? Don't let Satan be a stumbling block in their pathway. Let them come to You and seek You and be saved before it's everlasting too late. I pray that every week. I also pray that if there's somebody there that's looking for a church and this is the place, that God will move them and that they'll join and become a part of this body of Christ. We come to worship. We come to grow. We come to mature. Ephesians 4 and 12 says, it's for the perfecting of the saints. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but we need perfecting. I need perfecting. And what that word means is to equip the saints. I need to be equipped. For what? Well, the verse continues, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying. Edifying means building up. Who? The body of Christ. We come together. I look forward to meeting together. It's good to socialize. But I draw strength from my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're, if you'll excuse this terminology, but we are a team. We are an army. And we work together to accomplish the will of God. And you are an encouragement to me when I see you. And you're an encouragement to me in things that you say to me. And I hope that I'm an encouragement to you in your life. Because that gives us the strength that we need when we leave the doors of this place to go back out into the world and accomplish what our mission is, what the calling of God has been to us. The church, we're here to serve. But we're not just here to serve you. I'm here to serve you, but you're also here to serve me. We're to serve one another as we try to accomplish what God would have us to do. And I'll tell you this too, there's only one way to become a part of the church. There's only one way to become a part of the body of Christ. That one way is by believing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What I'm telling you right now is there is a qualifier to being a member of the body of Christ. There is a qualifier to being a member of the church. Now, I understand, as I said earlier, there's a misconception. People say, well, I just joined the church and I'll become a part of the church. But listen, if you've never been saved, it don't matter if you've been baptized. I don't care how many times. If you've not been saved, you're not a part of the Lord's true church. You must first be saved and have that personal experience with Jesus. And then after you've been saved, I believe with all of my heart that the first act of obedience for a child of God who's been saved is then to submit to baptism and to become a member of the body of Christ and become a member of this particular body of Christ that meets in this place of worship. When we get baptized, you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, first of all, Jesus commanded it. There really doesn't need to be anything else. Jesus commanded it. But when we are baptized, we have a baptistry right up here where we baptize people. But when we go through the ceremony, if you will, or when we go through the motions of baptism, it sends a message to those that are here. It sends a message to the world. Baptism is an expression to the world outwardly of the change that took place inwardly when we surrendered unto the Lord and He saved our soul. It's laying those sins in that grave of water. Jesus, when He was buried, He rose again. Baptism is an example of the burying of our sins and the rising again, as the Scripture says, to new life. And then we get about the business of being an active member in the body of Christ. Acts chapter 2, and verse 41 expressed, and you'll remember this was the day of Pentecost, and Peter stood up and he preached a bold message. And the Scripture expressed in the 41st verse, then they that gladly received His word, in other words, those that were saved, look what happened next, were baptized. And that same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I wonder this morning, are you a part of a church? Are you a part of the church because you joined? Or are you a part of the church because you believed? There's a difference. The qualifier is we must be saved. Got to be a time and place somewhere that you made an altar somewhere and called upon the Lord and trusted Him unto the salvation of your soul. Then the next act of obedience is to be baptized. I've known some throughout my ministry, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Sister Helen, I know you can hear me out in the parking lot, she's one of the few that ever did this that I remember in my ministry, but I preached a sermon that morning about the importance of being saved and about the importance of baptism. And I had made a statement that said, you know, and there's people in this world who've been deceived and thought they were saved and then joined a church and was baptized. And then later on, they came to the realization from the Spirit of the Lord that they, in fact, were not saved at that time. And they got convicted and they got serious with God, and they truly got saved. Was that baptism that they had before any good? No. They weren't saved. They didn't meet the qualifier. Do they need to be rebaptized? Yes. To be a member of the true church. And Sister Helen, on that particular Sunday, we were baptizing some others that Sunday. And I preached that message, and she came walking down the aisle. And she says, "I don't got it right." She said, I thought I was saved and got baptized and wasn't. I got saved later, but I've never been baptized." And she said, "I want to be baptized." And we received her in the church. Did any of you remember that? What was the issue? She didn't come prepared with clothes. And I said, "Well, we can schedule and do your again." She says, "Oh no." She says, "I'm getting baptized today with everybody else." She's the only person I've ever baptized wearing the clothes they did coming in with and wearing them going out. But Sister Helen, you got it right. You got it right. I hope this morning I have cleared up maybe a few misconceptions in the minds of some of you about the church. And I can tell you this morning, I love the Lord's church. I love the Lord's church. And I love being a part of the Lord's church. I love being a member of the body of Christ. Because the work is so great, I know in of myself, I can't do it all. I need help. Just like all these members of my body help me to do things. All of us working together helps us to do things, to accomplish the work of the Lord, to get the gospel message out. And I'm thankful to be a part of the Lord's church. And that's my message today. Will, I do want to have a song. This altar, we call this place up here an altar. And if you're here this morning and unsaved, and the Lord is dealing with your heart, you need to be saved. And the way that you are able to be saved is by responding to the drawing power of the Spirit of God with a repentant heart of faith. Well, Peter, you say that all the time, but what do you mean? What I mean is that when you get serious with the Lord and you make your altar, whether it be here at the pew or wherever it is that God's dealing with your heart, the Bible says that there's got to be repentance. There's got to be confession. We have to have a sorrowful heart for sin. We know that we're sinners and we need to get forgiveness of sin in our life. And when we do that and we trust in the proper authority, which is Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for our sins, and He sees that before Him, then He makes intercession for us unto the Father. And then what comes is sweet peace. Brother Danny alluded to peace in our Sunday school this morning. Not war and peace type peace, but the peace that comes from being in a relationship with the Lord. That burden of that heaviness of heart, that troubling of heart, it leaves you. And there is a joy and a peace in your heart. And this altar is open anytime. And we're going to have a song. And if you feel like coming and praying, I would encourage you to do that. But I also want to give invitation this morning for church membership. I don't do this every Sunday. I just do it when I feel impressed to. And I feel impressed to today. There may or may not be anybody here that God is speaking to. But I can tell you this, if you've been saved and you've not been baptized, you need to take the next step of obedience to the Lord and present yourself for church membership and be baptized and become a part of the body of Christ. I could go a little bit deeper in this morning about what's coming down the road in the future, the marriage supper of the Lamb and all of those things, but let me just say this, you want to be there. You want to be there. And to be there, you need to be a member of the Lord's church. So I give invitation this morning. If that's your condition this morning, we ask you to come forward as I stand down here and come and tell me you want to join the church. Now, I'll tell you, I said there was a qualifier that you must be saved. And that's true. And if you have been saved, it's just our practice here that we ask you to share about when the Lord saved your soul. There's one thing we all know about if we've been saved is that. Now, there may be somebody here today that belongs to another church of like faith and order. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that you belong to another Missionary Baptist church somewhere, but you feel like God is leading you to be a worker at this church. Well, if you belong to another Missionary Baptist church, we'll receive you on a credit of a letter from that church into our membership. Well, what about anybody else, preacher? Well, if you've been saved, truly saved by the grace of God, and you know that you've been saved, and you belong to another denomination, it doesn't exclude you from being a member of our church body. you'll just have to be rebaptized into our fellowship. And if the Lord is really leading you here, you'll do that. You'll meet the qualifications. Let's stand together. First of all, is it well with your soul today? If it's well with your soul today, thank the Lord. If it's not well with your soul today, this is an opportunity for you to come and find Jesus precious to your soul. And also, as we sing this song, if there's someone here that feels like the Lord is speaking to them to become a part of this church, we invite you to come forward, present yourself for church membership. Brother Will.
Calling today, calling today.